morning. Welcome to our Sunday School Hour, and I invite you to stand as we sing When We All Get to Heaven. Standing as we sing hymn number 56. This morning, Brother Benson, would you pray for us, please? Man, thank you. You may be seated unless you celebrate a birthday and anniversary. We'd like to recognize you at this time.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be together this morning in the Lord's house. We had a beautiful wedding here yesterday. What a blessing that was to see Lydia and Eli tie the knot, and so that's be praying for them. They're on the road and going on their honeymoon, and I talked with them yesterday as they got ready to leave, and I said, just, you know, stay focused on what you're doing, drive to where you need to go, and, you know, so anyhow, just pray for them. And then we have a youth rally coming up on March the 18th. Cost will be $12. Information there in the bulletin. Financial Peace is going to start March the 24th. It'll meet on Tuesday nights through May the 19th. If you have any questions, you can see Brother Zach. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table so that they can know how many are going to attend. But if you're going to, you need to get signed up today. Wedding coming up for the Morgan Lee Master and Trenton Foster. They're going to get married on March the 25th at 6 o'clock. At the Crispin Manor in Oskaloosa, Kansas, and they're registered at Target and Amazon, and so if you can attend that, it'll be awesome. There's going to be a baby shower for Crystal Marino. That's going to take place March the 29th here at the church at 7 o'clock, and they're registered at babylist.com, and baby's going to be delivered on April the 11th, and so I predict that. I predict that, and the C-section doctor predicted that. So anyhow, you pray for them as that date gets closer. Visitation, we're going to start a visitation program back up April the 2nd. I encourage you to come and be with us that morning at 9 o'clock. We'll get out and work the doors and visits and everything, and so encourage you to come. We're going to have a guest preacher with us on April 10th. He's really... no stranger to us, Brother Joe Asbury is going to come be with us all day. Brother Joe does wills and trusts, and he'll be talking about the importance of handling your money and handing your money off. And I would highly recommend, if you have questions about that, that you come. He'll be able to give you a lot of good answers. And then usually he has time where you can come in, sit down with him if you're interested in establishing those things. And you say, well, I don't have anything. Well, do you have kids? Yeah. Do you have bank accounts? Do you have cars? Do you, you know, are you buying a house? Do you have property? It's amazing. You have, you know, like guns, jewelry, all that kind of stuff. If you don't assign and a lot of that stuff over, then when you pass away, they're going to have to go through a probate step to try to get things switched over into the family's name so that they, it's so much easier. Listen, I went through it with my mom and just took the trust with me everywhere I went, took the death certificate. We were able to establish bank accounts. We were able to cash out life insurance policies. It just makes life so much easier. And you don't give any money to the government. That's the big one. We don't want them. They get enough, or at least they get enough of mine. If they don't get enough of yours, all right. But they get enough of mine. And so I don't want them to have any more. But so that would be good for you to be here for that. And then Lord's Supper. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper on Tuesday, April 12th, 7 o'clock. That's a church family event. I encourage you to be here, church family. And we'll take the Lord's Supper, start at 7 o'clock. And then because we do that, we'll not have the Wednesday evening service. So Tuesday, April 12th, mark that down. And then, of course, we do that right before Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And so that next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. And the choir's putting together a really cool thing. And so we're just going to be a great weekend there. And just mark that down, plan to be with us. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Going to have Brother Foster come back and lead us in another song. Then we'll get to our Sunday school classes. God bless you for being here. Foster.
Turn to hymn number 97. I need thee every hour. We'll sing the first and the last verses. Hymn number 97. Sunday school classes. All right, my class, if you need a handout, we have those available. Brother Potts has them. If you'd raise your hand, he will get you a handout. And we are in lesson number 5. We'll continue on today, hopefully finish, looking at the biblical account of creation. And we understand in the society in which we live and as a Christian, what we experience, what we deal with, we know that there is a great attack on the biblical account of creation. If the devil can get the thought in your mind and undermine this truth about the biblical account of creation, then he can cast doubt on a whole lot of other things about
the authority of God and his right to judge and all these things, if he can undermine that, then he's got a foothold in your life. So that's what he seeks to do, and we've seen it all throughout history and what he's tried to do in within the human race and how he's tried to cast doubt upon God and what he has said and what he's declared and what he has done, and especially around this biblical account of creation. So I'd like to invite you to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There is the statement of what has happened. God is declaring it. The Creator himself has shown us and has established for us what happened in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now drop down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We can stop right there and understand when you deviate from the biblical account of creation where society can go. And it's where it's at today, where they're breaking down this male and female, the genders that God has created, and they're casting doubt upon those things because of what the devil has instilled in the mind of man to cast doubt upon what God has created. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So as we go through this lesson, we understand the fact that the creation bears a powerful testimony of an amazing Creator. Satan, however, attacks the truth of creation through the lie of evolution. And because he desires to undermine God's power, eternality, and the right to judge the world, he casts doubt upon God's biblical account of creation. So we are seeking here through this lesson to give reasons why we can confidently trust the biblical account of creation. We went through it a couple weeks ago and understood some things about the testimony of the Creator himself, the testimony of the Creator. We started out with our lesson here this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That is the account of the Creator. He said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God himself is declaring what has happened. He alone was there. None of us were there. There was no one present other than God himself. So the Creator himself is declaring to us what took place in creation. And we can understand these truths through his revelation. And he's revealed some things to us. And in Hebrews 11:3 reminds us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God created this world out of nothing. God created you and I out of nothing. And God is the Creator, and he has revealed that to us. And then we see that we can trust the biblical account through his reliability. We've seen testimony of what he's declared, and we understand that he is faithful and true in what he has said has happened. And Colossians 1:17 tells us, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he's reliable. He's revealed to us his creation, and he's reliable in what he said. Then we also have the testimony of the creation itself, the world in which we live, and what we can see and what we can understand. It bears testimony of the Creator through his creation. And we can understand that through its product, Genesis 1, 16 through 17, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it speaks about the order that God has put in place, and everything has to line up just right, and only a creator, a divine creator, can hold all this together. And God is doing that, and we can experience it, and we are experiencing it and living in it today, the order that God has declared for this great world in which we live. And then we see its purpose. What is the purpose of the creation? Well, the Bible again shows us what the purpose is for our life and what our existence is to amount to. And Colossians 1:16 tells us why we were created. It says, "For by Him were all things created. God Himself created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him." And now we understand why, and for Him. They were created by Him and for Him. So He's made this creation for Himself. Revelation 4:11 goes on to declare why He created this creation for Himself. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." You think about projects that we undergo. Normally, we're undergoing maybe a home project or whatever it might be, or for us guys, maybe it's restoring an automobile. But why are we doing those things? It's because it brings joy to our life. For the home improvement projects, we want something that's better or something that's more pleasing to the eye. For us guys in those auto areas, it's something that's more powerful and that we can feel that power when we step on the pedal, and we can spin those tires a little bit when no one's looking. But it's because it brings joy, it brings pleasure. And think about this, God has created you and I to bring pleasure to Him. And He's designed it that way, and He desires for us to bring that pleasure. Now, we understand what sin has done and how sin has separated us from God, but aren't you thankful that through Jesus Christ and that propitiation that He's put in place for sin, that we can be reconciled to God and we can fulfill the purpose thereby we were created. Psalm 139:13 says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being imperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." God has miraculously made you and I, and He's miraculously made this creation for the purpose of bringing pleasure. And then we can see through this creation its perfection. Its perfection. We went through this, and we won't spend a lot of time. It's an ideal galaxy. We have an ideal solar system, and we talked about Jupiter's orbit. It's holding everything together. And all these things, an almighty Creator has holding together. So also its perfection, Genesis 1:31, as we read this morning, when God finished creation, what did He say? He says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." It was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So we see God's design. We see how He's put all this together. And that brings us to the third area we need to understand, the testimony of the conflict. The testimony of the conflict. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We've looked at the testimony of the Creator. We've looked at the testimony of the creation. But we can also learn something from the opposition as well. We know there's an opposition. We know the devil is fighting. So there, we see now the testimony of the conflict. One of the indicators that the truth of creation is so important is the amount of work the devil puts into undermining it. If it were a minor issue, Satan would not devote so much efforts to convincing people of the lie of evolution. But he's going to great extremes because he understands if people believe the biblical account of creation, it undermines all of his plans and it causes men and women to believe in God. It moves them in that right direction. So he's trying to convince people of the lie of evolution. He's trying to spread that false truth, that false ideology all around the world. His purpose is to undermine faith in God and His Word. And that is what he did back in the Garden of Eden. As we understand how he approached Adam and Eve, and he began to cast doubt upon what God said. And he's still doing it today. So the testimony of the conflict, we see the realm of rebellion. There was a time when Satan, known as Lucifer, held an exalted position in heaven. He was a bright and glorious leader among the angels in the worship of God. Yet that was not enough for him. He wanted more. Rather than fulfilling the purpose of his creation, Satan determined that he would become the exalted one himself. In the book Paradise Lost, John Milton described Lucifer's rebellion as a decision that it would be better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Everything the devil does is set to this purpose, to undermine the plan of God. He is consistently working not to the betterment of others, but rather to their destruction and their doom. And we should expect nothing less from the one Jesus described as the liar and the father of it. And we cannot trust anything that Satan says. John 10:10 reminds us, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So Satan, he's not just content to draw away some of the angels who served God at one time, but he set his sights on you and me and all this world that God has created. From the very beginning, he focused his attack on the reliability of what God had said. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4. As he came to Adam and Eve, we can see that he's already trying to fulfill his plan and undermine what God has said. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." If Adam and Eve had believed God rather than Satan, they would not have disobeyed God in the only thing he had commanded them not to do. The teaching that we see today of evolution is a direct assault on God's trustworthiness and reliability. Either God is correct in what His Word declares, and creation happened just as He said it did, or He is a liar who cannot be trusted. So one of the purposes of the theory of evolution is to corrode faith in God. And you see where America began to teach these things, and you see that our society has not gotten better or drawn closer to God or become more Christ-like because of it, but rather our society has become more immoral and they have turned their back against God and they've become what we see today is just blows our mind what they can fathom and what they do and what they think is acceptable because they have been corroded in their mind. They're believing a lie. Evolution provides an alternative explanation, not just for the world around us, but for a future where there is no one to whom we must give an account for our lives. So the devil is casting doubt upon everything that God has said, and if he can get a hold of the mind and cause doubt upon creation, then he can cast doubt upon whether God can judge and whether God can destroy this world. All of these things, he's casting doubt upon what God has said. Biologist Francisco Elias said, Charles Darwin's greatest accomplishment was to show how the development of life is the result of a natural process, natural selection, without any need to resort to a creator. Michael Ditton, an Australian molecular biologist and physician, agreed that Darwinism broke man's link with God and consequently set him adrift in the cosmos without purpose. He also wrote, as far as Christianity is concerned, the advent of the theory of evolution was catastrophic. The decline in religious belief can probably be attributed more to the propagation and advocacy by the intellectual and scientific community of the Darwinian version of evolution than to any other single factor. So Satan's at work. He's at work to cloud the judgment and vision of people so that they will not see or understand truth. He does not deal in truth, but in deception, and he can present convincing arguments, but his purpose is not to illuminate what is real. It is to conceal it, to hide it, to keep you from understanding it. Evolution is a prime example of the way Satan's deceptions leave people blind to the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world, speaking of Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." If you spend any time talking with people, trying to witness to them and share the truth of the gospel, and many of you could testify of this, that you have to start from a different place than maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago, because people don't have the common understanding that they used to have about biblical truth. And you have to start maybe clear back at creation and get them understand that God created. There was a time in American history where people commonly understood the fact that God created the heaven and the earth. And you could start at that fact and you could build upon that. But today you have to uncover so many things and get them to understand and clearly see that God is the Creator, that God is the Almighty One, that He is the one in whom we must obey. He is the one in whom we must serve. He is the one who is the ultimate judge of His creation. Evolution requires that people disregard what God has said. The devil and his deception is causing people to reject God's truth through this lie of evolution. And many people find that preferable to having to deal with the fact that there is a creator and a judge that we all must face. There is a false comfort in evolution that allows people to indulge their desire not to think about the God who made everything around us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Interestingly, scientific evidence has increasingly contradicted the Darwinian theory, with facts that support a creator or at least intelligent design. It's interesting that when they look honestly at science, they can see the fact and the evidence of intelligent design. Yet, by and large, non-Christians still refuse to acknowledge this evidence. Biochemist Michael Bay of Lehigh University said this, "The conclusions of intelligent design flow naturally from the data itself, not from sacred books or sectarian beliefs. The reluctance of science to embrace the conclusion of intelligent design has no justifiable foundation. Many people, including many important and well-respected scientists, just don't want there to be anything beyond nature." So this willful ignorance is not unlike what the Apostle Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. He says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Interestingly, this passage speaks and refers to the worldwide flood described in Genesis chapter 6. Evolutionists, of course, deny this biblical account, in part because it emphasizes man's accountability to God and God's right to judge man. But in reality, the flood answers many questions raised by non-believing scientists and archaeologists. Simply put, the fossils that evolutionary scientists suggest support the evolutionary process exactly fit the evidence of what we would expect by a worldwide flood that Scripture records. So we see the realm of rebellion. The rebellion is great, and it's all around us. But aren't you thankful there's a road to restoration? There's a road to restoration. The Lord is merciful, even to those who initially reject Him, and He offers a pathway for sinful man to know Him through the death of His Son on Calvary's cross. We saw earlier that men reject the message of creation because they reject the Creator. The key to knowing God is not simply faith in creationism or intelligent design. It is faith in the revelation of the Creator. It is to take God at His word, to believe we are sinners and that He has paid for our sin. It is to turn to God in repentance and faith. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." If there's someone here today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, He invites you to turn to Him and to call upon Him for salvation. For those of us who do know Christ already, we need to understand that the primary message you have to share with this world is not creationism, although it is an important truth. The primary message, however, is a message of how to know the Creator Himself. Remember why we were created, to bring pleasure to Him. We understand in our sinful state, we are unable to bring that pleasure to Him. But in a redeemed state, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to bring that pleasure to Him once again. Faith in God is not irrational. In fact, it is the only rational response to His revealed truth. Even some of the most ardent evolutionists and atheists have been won to faith by the power of the gospel. Rick Oliver has his PhD in biology from the University of California, Irvine. He is a member of the American Federation of Herpetoculturalists. Never heard of it. Herpetoculturalist, that's a tongue twister. The California Science Teacher Association. And the New York Academy of Science, in an article describing how the intricate design of creation pointed him to Christ, he wrote the following. "I remember how frustrated I became when, as a young atheist, I examined specimens under the microscope. I would often walk away and try to convince myself that I was not seeing examples of extraordinary design, but merely the product of some random, unexplained mutations. Even as an atheist, I could not get away from the evidence. Eventually, by God's grace, I accepted the simple yet compelling truth of the Bible." I always enjoyed in science class when we got to examine things under the microscope. It was amazing to me how things would be moving and the things you could see. And it just speaks of God's miraculous creation. And I'm thankful that these scientists and this gentleman, specifically Rick Oliver, was able to understand and see the intelligent design that was behind what he was studying. The evidence of intelligent design is all around us. And man has the ability to accept that and to respond to it. And God has given creation to speak of Him as the Creator. And it's a compelling testimony of divine creation. So what's the conclusion of the matter here? We see throughout the Bible and in the world around us a threefold witness of the reality of creation. We first saw the testimony of the Creator. The one who created all things has bore testimony to us. He's told us plainly that He made the world. Then we have the testimony of creation. The intricacies and complexities of the natural world agrees with the biblical account of divine creation followed by the fall of man. Then the testimony of the conflict. The very vehemence of the attack on a logical conclusion of creation evidences a deeper motive of rejecting God. If we surrender on the topic of evolution in order to be accepted by the world around us, we are giving up a key distinctive of our faith. And when we study the history of the teaching of evolution, you will find a constantly changing set of beliefs, ever moving. The theory is continually being adjusted, often in contradiction of what was widely believed just a few years before. But the Word of God has given the same explanation for the existence of the universe for thousands of years. Instead of being pulled into the confusion of evolutionary teaching, turn to God and to His reliable Word, understanding this, that our Creator can be trusted. He is absolutely true, and what He has depicted for us and what He has recorded for us in the Word of God is absolutely true. It is exactly how it happened. As we look upon this world and we see how the sinfulness and all that's going on, and we see the results of the fall of man, we can still see a lot of beauty. So imagine that, the beauty that we see and compare it to what it once was when it was without sin. One day God will restore the perfection that the world enjoyed before the fall of man. All of the pain and suffering and heartache and labor that came into the world as a result of sin will be wiped away. The Bible tells us that even the creation itself suffers the impact of sin and groans under the effects of the fall. And we who know Christ look forward to the day when pain will be replaced by joy, and God reverses the effects of the fall during Christ's millennial reign. I'm looking forward to that day. Looking forward to when God restores, creates a new heaven and a new earth, and things will be as He originally designed them to be, the way He desires them to be, that His creation would bring glory to Him. So the challenge to us, for those who already understand the biblical account of creation, we understand that God created the heaven and the earth, we accept the testimony of the Creator. We accept testimony of creation. Hopefully, we're not part of the rebellion, but rather we've fully grasped and we have accepted those truths that God has created this world. So the question to us today, are you fulfilling the purpose for which you were created? Are you bringing pleasure to the Creator? And we understand through the Word of God how we bring that pleasure to Him. By fulfilling His Word, by being faithful to His precepts and to His promises and to His outline upon our life, walking circumspectly, walking holy, walking without blame, bearing the fruits of the Spirit in our life. All of these things are what bring pleasure to Him. So if you're not fulfilled in your life, maybe you're not fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. Are you bringing pleasure to God? That's what God designed us for, and we as Christians need to be fulfilling that purpose and bearing that testimony to a lost and dying world who so desperately need to understand why they were created. They're reaching out in all sorts of formats and trying to be accepted in the wrong places because they're trying to find fulfillment. And the only place to find true fulfillment is in fulfilling the design of your creation by your Creator and bringing pleasure to Him. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that You have created us. We're thankful that You have provided us this creation. And I pray that as the created, that we would honor You as the Creator, that we would bring pleasure to Your name, that we would be faithful to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be an example to others of Jesus Christ living in us. And I pray that we would be a faithful witness of the power of Jesus Christ in our lives, and I pray that we would bear testimony of You as the Creator. Father, I pray that You'd work through us, that we would have an impact upon this world in which we live. We would be able to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that others would be saved as they understand these biblical truths, that they must give an account to the Creator. Father, I pray that You'd bless now the service to follow. Speak again to our hearts, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have a few moments, and we'll meet right back in here at 10:30 for the worship hour.